tonight, and I want to say what an honor it is to be here. And I like it in North Carolina. Amen. I could be in some third world country tonight preaching like Chicago or somewhere like that. What a blessing it is to be here. And you pray for me. I need your help. Good to see all my preacher friends that are here and my some of my preacher enemies that are here today.
Amen.
If you stay in it long enough, those enemies get just about as long a list as the friends. I want to try to help you, and I'm tired. You pray for me. I'm two or three things I have to say just to kind of, you know, so y'all can feel sorry for me. I am wore out. My back, belly, and both sides hurt. Somebody asked me the other day, I was complaining a little bit. I'm tired. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not like tired from a day's work. I'm not like tired from a week. Like, I think I'm tired from 15 years. Can I get a witness of that? I'm like 15 years tired. And I need God to help me these days. I'm trying to make some decisions about my traveling. A lot of these evangelists, they tell you, I'm going to slow down. What it means, they ain't got no meetings. You know? I believe I'm going to have to slow down. It just means they ain't got nowhere to preach. But the truth is, God's been good to open doors beyond what my physical capabilities are, I believe. And so you just pray that God will help me. And, man, this is weird. I'm being attacked by an alien here. And fix the battery, all right? Put one in me if it'll help. And then there's a tendency to try to impress people. And I don't. You know, you fight that. You see preachers and you say, well, and I'd like you, a preacher, to hear this. And there's a tendency to try to entertain or try to impress. And I'd rather help you than do that. And we're familiar enough with the things of God. I realize to some extent that as Christians, this is what we do for fun. You know, I mean, I do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Christian entertainment. That's all I do is go to church. If I can't have fun in church, honestly, there's not a lot of choices I have to have fun. So I'm having a good time. Ramirez is going to amen me till I can't even preach. Y'all pray for him. I might need him to check on cars. And I can't think like I used to. Like little things. Can I just talk a little bit? Little things bother me. Used to didn't bother me. When I first started preaching, elephants could walk in the building, and it wouldn't bother me. Amen. Now, a little baby crying bothers me. You know, I'm having a problem with that, and then I can't remember what I'm saying, and people think that I'm using that to keep people's attention. If it'll keep their attention, good. But when I say, "Where was I at?"
Yeah.
For real, I forgot where I was at, and I've literally picked up on other messages, you know, that I'd preach, and I travel so much. I preach every night of the world. And then I preach so much over in this part of the country that, you know, if I have to change my messages, I mean, Brother Nick's daddy's heard everything that I've got to preach and things that I'm sure of, some things I ain't even sure of, you know. And we are in meeting all together. He's like, you know, he's a member here. He's a member at Nick's. He's a member at my church. And I mean, this dude like world renowned. And then I preach so many places, and I preach here so much. And sometimes there's a following to an extent that come. Well, I heard you over there. I can't help that, you know. When I first started preaching, I'd write down what I preached at a certain place. But man, when you get in a neighborhood and there's 7 or 8 churches that come, you just, so if you heard it again, hey, I hate it for you, you know. And you did, hey, for that dollar you put in the offering, what'd you expect anyway? Bless God. Say amen. So y'all pray and let's try to get some help tonight. If you listen, I believe God's got something for us.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then I'll read the text after that, all right? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for an opportunity that we have to come these good songs of Zion that we've heard remind us of our salvation, remind us of where we're going. And I thank you for the promise of heaven. Now we need your touch tonight. And Lord, you know the problems that I'll face. I pray that you'll undergird me. You always have. And in a little while, after this message is preached, we'll extend an invitation. Now I pray, God, that you'd work in hearts tonight. I pray, Spirit of God, that you'd draw the sinner that's away from you and lost. I pray tonight to be the last night that they're lost. I pray for the saint of God who's weary in the way. I pray for encouragement for them. And then, Lord, correct us where we need correcting. Guide us where we need guiding. Build us up where we need built up. And for the results that we see and the future of these churches, this good church and Brother Jeff, these sister churches that are present, we pray your blessing upon old-time religion. May long live the old-time way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Moses was a man of many encounters with God. He was no stranger to encounters with God. I mean, from his youth in chapter number 2, you see the story here in Exodus chapter 2. You see where Moses, I believe, in that ark typifies the conversion of sinners. How, praise God, that ark, that word pitch, it's the word same, identical word as atonement. And praise God, Jesus Christ was a safety of ark for the sinner.
Yes, sir.
And no doubt, I believe we can make parallel that he was a man who had an encounter with God in his youth in salvation. There was something different about him. You understand? When he was raised there, those years that he sat on his real mother's knee before he went to the Pharaoh's palace, he was schooled to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob.
Amen.
And what 40 years of Egypt couldn't take away, it was just short years on his mother's knee that stayed with him. And it turned him towards God. He had an encounter in salvation. I want to say it was a happy day in my life. And I don't want to get over it. I really am. I meet a lot of people that I believe have become used to salvation. You know, it's no longer exciting. They can't even get excited when somebody else gets saved. You know, I see it, you know, and they it becomes redundant to them. I mean, I still want to. I have to fight it myself. God blesses our church with, seems like, converts every week. We're baptized just about every week. And I praise God for that. But there's a danger that we get used to it, you know. Now, I'm not saying let's quit winning them so we won't get used to it. God help. That's what a dodo bird would say. Somebody say amen. And there's some stupid enough people in our circles that think like that. I mean, an idiot told me the other day, problem with y'all, y'all having too many people saved. You know, God ain't in a church over 200. I said, man, my God help us. Somebody help me. That's ignorance is what that is.
Yes,
but there is a danger of becoming comfortable with salvation. Let me just say tonight, I don't want to get used to it.
Amen.
I mean, I like it. I'm thankful that these songs that are sung tonight remind me of my conversion.
Yes,
at Two Coats, praise God.
Amen.
I mean, I remember when I was lost and remember when I got saved. I don't want it to become so academic to me that I lose the realness of salvation. I believe every time that Moses walked by the Nile River, he remembered his days as a youth and how God salvaged his life down yonder. Amen. He had an encounter in salvation. He had an encounter in separation. And let me just say that separation is not an optional Bible topic. Separation is a scriptural demand. When I preach on the glory, people will shout it down. You can preach on the rapture in our circles, and they get excited. A lot of places I'll mention separation, and I'm telling you, it's like death. And we're plagued with that element. They like our music. They like the glory. But you go on a Facebook and find out and see what they're wearing at home. God help us. It's embarrassing.
And,
separation is as much a Bible doctrine as the blood atonement is. Come out from among them, be ye separate, thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. That's Bible doctrine. And with the help of the Lord, I could probably quote many other proof texts about this truth. Now, and he encountered separation. I believe it was all steps toward effective service. You understand? It wasn't just about separation. Your separation is not so that you can get glory. It's to give God glory and to make you more effective. I honestly believe in our movement, I don't know our people, all I know is this kind, you know. That's the only kind I want to know. But we've got an element of Phariseeism that it absolutely reeks. That we're better than you, and you know, and people's our church is more separated than that church, because we don't have stained windows and they do, and I don't think that's at all. It's about being effective. It's not trying to compete with somebody else. Separation there to make you effective. And so he had an encounter when he left Egypt's land. He turned his back on Egypt. And he went out to the backside of the desert and he just left Egypt. He could have stayed there. I mean, hey, look at me. The measure of your spirituality is not always about what you don't do. But he made a good choice in his life. Young people, listen to me. You'll never lose anything by giving up something for God. It'll be to your progress. It'll be to your gain. So he leaves Egypt's land. Are y'all still with me? He had an encounter and surrender. And now God's going to use him. By the burning bush, he's commissioned for a service. Now let me remind you that you've not been chosen just to be idle. Amen. The Bible said you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Yep. And that your fruit should remain. Amen. We ought to be productive. Yes, sir. Our lives ought to be fruitful lives. Yes, sir. And he's fixing, that's Southern terminology for preparing to. Everybody knows that. Amen. He's fixing. I have to use an interpreter when I preach up in Indiana. Amen. He's preparing. Amen. He's preparing to be used of God in service. Now, work it. Listening to me, and I believe with all my heart that the burning bush experience was the turning point in his life. I'll pick up reading now to verse number 21, and Moses was content, chapter 2, verse 21, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, that's his father-in-law, and he gave Moses Zephra, his daughter, and she bare him a son and called his name Geshem, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God, by reason of the bondage. And God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Let me just stop and say, for you that are very, very borderline hyper-dispensational and you're nervous that I'm going to make wrong application here tonight, I understand that bush is a type of Israel, and she's going to go through a lot of tribulation, but one day, you know, they're going to look on Jesus, and 144,000 of them are going to be saved. Somebody say amen. And they're going to preach during the tribulation. Whether you believe it or not, that's going to happen.
Yes,
it's going to be a good day, and a nation's going to be born in it. Is everybody okay?
Yes,
sir. Are you okay with that? I just want to check with the guest evangelist. Amen. I'm going to preach it whether you don't like it or not. Amen.
Amen.
And so they are preserved. But there's a lesson in that bush for us tonight. The Bible said in verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now look this way, and I'm going to try to preach in a minute if I get to it. Amen. I want you to understand, we read the Old Testament, don't get negative on me. And there's a resurgence of this borderline, if it's in the Old Testament, it's not for me. Mid-Acts dispensationalism, if it's, you know, don't bow your head, everybody okay? I mean, it's everywhere I go. I mean, if it's not a Pauline epistle, I can't get a blessing from it. But let me tell you, that is ignorant. If it's written, my Bible said all Scripture is given by the Spirit of God and is profitable. All 39 Old Testament books are profitable books. And all 27 new. And those things that are written aforetime are written for our admonition and learning. So don't discard things in the Old Testament. You know, like breathing. Breathing started in the Old Testament. And we still breathe. You know, cornbread started in the Old Testament. Can I get a witness on that? Stone ground cornbread started in the Old Testament. I'm glad we still in this dispensation have the privilege of cornbread. Buttermilk started in the Old Testament. And so let's not be foolish about the great lessons of old time. Amen. Now watch this. The fire of God showed up. Notice the words, the angel of the Lord. Underline that. It wasn't an angel. And the theologians that I read after say this was a theophany. This was a pre-birth appearance of Christ. It was a Christophany, a theophany, a God himself showed up on the backside of that desert. This was not some angel. It was the angel of the Lord. And God himself was commissioning Moses for service. Don't get excited. I like that. I just like that talk, theophany. You know, sounds like I've been to Bible college. And I mean, there they are and they're, Ramirez is crazy. This is going to be fun tonight. We got the little boy quiet and the big boy loud. Amen. And God's going to show up down there. Brother Shook, John's going to show. God's going to show up way down yonder in the middle of nowhere. On the backside of the desert. To prepare one man for service. And notice he communicates with fire. He gets to the fire. I want to say a few things about the fire of God. The fire of God in 21st century Christianity, no doubt's flickering. Now God hadn't lost him his power, but I thought about it over there in Samuel where the Bible said, ere the lamp of God went out, God raised up a Samuel. We're living in days where honestly, there's not a lot of fire burning. Now it's a perpetual fire. It ain't ever going out. Let me assure you that. But it's not burning everywhere. The fire of God, I believe, represents the power of God. It was in Kings there at Mount Carmel. And Elijah was up on that mountain and he proved the power of God to a faithless generation. A generation who had forgotten God. He proved the power of God when he called down fire. I believe we once again, especially in our Baptist churches, need the fire of God. I'm not talking about an unintelligible tongue. I'm not talking about some supernatural vision. But I am talking about a tangible effect. I still like to see prayers get answered and God get glory. I still like to see the oil taken out and anoint the sick and God raise them up. That's biblical. It still happens. And all power's given him. He don't have some power. Jesus got all power. And so I represent the fire represents power of God. I think the fire represents the presence of God. When they're exiting Egypt, just a few chapters later, you're going to find out it's a pillar of fire by night. And what he was saying was, I'm here. There's a lot of churches, and when I go into them, I'd like to see the fire. Because I'm telling you, if God ever showed up in there, I didn't notice it. Amen. I mean, I have to take liberty a lot of places I preach. Because there ain't no liberty there when I get there. Music dead as a hammer, a bunch of round mouth, something. Sound like a Wizard of Oz. Say amen. And I can't stand that junk, man. Ain't no tangible fire there. There's such a thing as the realness of his presence. He said, you'll see the fire by night. I'll be there. I believe that fire represents his presence. I believe that fire, God, represents his purity. My mama's old fashioned. She acts like she's not. My mom puts on airs. But it'll slip out on anybody that says crystal for crystal. It's country. Anybody that says Walmarts instead of Walmart. There ain't no S on Walmarts, man. Crystal and Walmart, you country, is with a big K. But my mama knows all what sign to cut your hair. She cut my hair on the shrinking of the moon, and look what happened to it. Amen. I'm telling you, she knows all that stuff. I mean, she memorized it, man. I'm telling you, she knows what each phase of the moon is and all that doing. So look up in here. But she had a lot of old wives' habits. When I grew up, we was poor, and I'm not ashamed of it, but we was poor people. And but she always bought my clothes too big, so I'd grow into them, you know. Shoes a size too big, stuff, things in there. I look like elf shoes. I'd wear them around there. She bought, we'd wear them in canvas Chuck Taylors. Now hippies wear them. But when we grew up, that was the only option you had was Chuck Taylors, either red ones or black ones or white ones. And if you was going pro style, you change the color of the laces. Can I get a witness? You remember that, you old timer. And man, inevitably after the first day, we went barefooted all from Mother's Day till fall of the year. We went barefooted my whole life. Y'all think y'all Tar Heels. People in Tennessee, man, we rubbed the tar off on rocks. Look up in here. We used to test a boy's manhood by how hard and fast he could run across a gravel parking lot barefooted. You wasn't a man, you walk, had to tiptoe around. But what was I talking about? And purity. And mama would go in there, and I'd come in after about playing outside, and I'd say, Mama, looky. And I'd rub the blister the size of a half a dollar on the back of my heel. Shoes too big, you know. And she'd say, well, hold on. She'd holler, say, Sherry, that's my oldest sister, go in there to the sewing kit and get me a needle. And she'd get a needle, back that long needle, and she'd go in there to the stove and get one of them strike anywhere matches. White tip, strike anywhere, and she'd rake it across the front, and that thing would pop like a .22 rifle. You could smell the sulfur burning. And she'd take that needle and roll it in that flame. I said, what are you going to do, brand me? And she said, no, said I am sterilizing this needle. She said, I don't want you to get infected. She'd take that needle and roll it in that flame. What you're doing was preparing that needle for use. I'm going to tell you, the fire of God needs to burn again in our church. We've gotten so carnal and so worldly that the fire of God needs to burn again, burn some of its carnality out. Amen. I'm telling you, amen. Represents his presence, his power. Represents his purity. The fire of God. And this bush began to burn. God calls him. Now, I think we could all concur tonight that we need the fire again. And if you've got any fire at your place, we need to tend to the fire. I mean, we need to fuel the fire. We need to encourage it instead of discouraging the fire. And when I look at this text tonight, I want you to notice, beginning in verse 21, the problems that preceded this theophany. What brought God down? What brought a manifestation of this fire? And watch it with me. Notice verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. He's content to dwell with Jethro, his father-in-law. Underline that phrase, he's content. And I want you to put some note in your Bible if you're in the habit of taking notes. Problems preceding this bush was neutral contentment. The fire of God needs to burn at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church when we get comfortable. When we start comparing our ministry to another work. You understand? Well, we all right and everything, and we our Ford say, our family say, let the rest of the world die and go to hell. That's the mentality of comfort. Most places I preach have reached a plateau of comfort. And they begin to compare their families one to another. They compare their ministries. And we all right. We're doing better than that church over yonder. At least we don't have hippies on the planet. At least we don't have them. They start judging their effectiveness by the failures of others.
Yep, that's
Understand, we don't judge our effectiveness by the failures of others. There's a danger of that. I see it where I go. And that's where the fire of God, there was a failure in Israel to believe. They're in Egyptian bondage. It's not supposed to be that way. God had promised them the Canaan land, but now they're living under the Egyptian hardships. They're making their own bricks. Now they got to gather the straw to make the brick. It ain't got better. All these years, 400 years, it's been bad. It's gotten worse. Y'all listening to me? And about then, the fire of God shows up because Moses was getting comfortable on the backside of that desert. Some of you tonight, some of you preachers are comfortable. It doesn't bother you. And I know that there's a sovereignty of God. I know there's conviction in the work of the Holy Ghost. And I know that I can't save anybody, but I want to talk to you preachers anyway. It don't bother y'all no more that people ain't getting saved. You've done talked yourself into believing this Calvinistic, fatalistic viewpoint. And it don't bother. Did you know, it still bothers me when I give invitations and people don't get saved. I want it to bother me. Our churches don't care anymore. As long, once their family gets saved, every Wednesday night, I've had people in our church, Brother Jeff, every Wednesday night, won't y'all pray for my husband? He's lost on his way. Y'all pray for, how many of y'all pray for my husband get saved? We'll all, and I mean every week, won't y'all pray for my husband get saved? He'll be saved. Won't you pray for my husband get saved? He'll get saved. Finally, he gets saved. She quits asking for anybody else to get saved. You follow what I'm saying? Pray for my family. Pray for my wayward son to get saved and get his earrings out of his ear and get back in church. Well, he gets saved. He gets in. Then no more request. Do y'all follow? Don't get mad, but these Christian schools have taken our burden for the public school away. Let everybody in a public school die and go to hell. We're gonna have support foreign missions while we got 1,500 at a high school over here on their way to hell and wouldn't go out of our way to witness to them. We're comfortable with our schools. We're comfortable with our homes. We're like a bunch of Mennonites. Look up in here. Bunch of blessed God, beard-wearing Amish. Somebody look up in here. Hey, we'd isolated. We're on the backside of the desert, and we think we're all right. While we've been called to win the whole world, there's a nation back yonder of millions that are in bondage. And here's a man sitting on the backside of the desert, bless God, chewing red band, whittling, hey, having a good time going coon hunting tonight while the rest of the world dies and goes to hell. We're comfortable. He was fine. I can see him over there. He's out back there just rubbing his heating his hands by that fire. I'm doing good. Look here. I got a nice, look at these nice ewes and this good ram I got. Bless God, he was in a mess working for his daddy-in-law. Somebody say amen. Amen, that's a plague. Somebody say amen. Is everybody okay? He was content to dwell. Bible said we ought not be content. Paul, after writing over half the New Testament, imagine Paul's life, compare yours to his. He raises Eutychus from the dead. He writes over half the New Testament. He's been caught up into the third heaven. Done saw heaven come back, had to quit writing about it. And he says, not that I've apprehended. But this one thing I do, most Christians I meet, they're already finished. 3 years into their conversion, they know more than the preacher knows. Look at me. They're smarter than the preacher. They've plateaued out. I think I've made my point. Neutral contentment is a good place for the fire to burn. Notice this. He says in verse 22, he had a son, and they called his name Geshem. What it meant, Geshem, for I'm a stranger in a strange land. You know when the fire of God needs to burn? Not only when there's neutral contentment, but when there's notable confusion. This is what he said. He named his son Stranger. That's Merle Haggard's band's name. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? He named his son Stranger. Don't act so pharisaical. I said Merle Haggard, bless God. I didn't say Bon Jovi. Look up in here. And where was I? And he's a stranger. I mean, name your son Junior. You know, name your son, you know, like John. But why you, anybody name that, can you imagine coming home, come here stranger and see daddy. Come here stranger, come get stranger. Now that's what my kids think I am when I come home. They say, come here stranger. They, come here stranger, right up here. So here's they're going to name their son stranger. You know why? Because he said, I don't even know what I am. He said, notice that was the testimony, I'm a stranger. I don't know if I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew. But I was raised an Egyptian. But then I left Egypt. Now I'm married into the Midianites. My daddy-in-law is a Midianite priest. Let me say, the Midianites have always been the enemies of God's people. Y'all understand? He's married into the Midianite bunch. The Midianites was the crowd that the judges had to fight. You remember? Oh, Gideon. This ain't the good crowd to be in. He said, I don't know what I am. Did you know most of our younger church members don't even know why they're an independent Baptist?
Come on, preach.
Yes, sir, brother.
And nobody wants, it's all kumbaya, ecumenical, hold hands with everybody. I'm so sick of that bunch of junk. Everybody can't be right. Somebody's wrong. Everybody can't be right. And I want to thinner down even beyond just Baptists. I want to say even some ever Baptist can't be right. Either there's people that would condemn the atmosphere we're in right now that I preach for. You understand that I'm telling you if they would be so nervous in here. I'm going to tell you something. They're wrong, and we're right, or they're right and we're wrong. You can't have it both ways. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. You can't have it both ways. And I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a time, we're living in a day where the fire of God needs to burn again, where the fire of God needs to flame again, where the fire of God, I'm telling you, needs to be fueled again so that we can identify who we are. Well, mama and them, granny and them's buried in the graveyard out there. If I was a Southern Baptist and they ordaining them women preachers and softening up on these bunch of Muslims, I tell you what I'd do. I don't care who you are. Look up in here. I'd go dig granny up at night and drag her and plant her in an independent Baptist graveyard. I'd dig her up, bless God, buy a boy a backhoe. Hey, I'd move her. If she knew there's ordained women preachers, she'd move them too. She'd come out of there, bless God. No fire. Nobody says anything about that. Even our more conservative religious periodicals are becoming so politically correct in how they approach that stuff. Because they all got to have money now. The Bible colleges, some of them I could just call names, you know how I am. I can't believe how liberal they've gone. The men they used to preach against, now they have on the platform. I'm not so, you know, Alzheimer's, I can't remember that. The enemy, now they're championing the enemy. They're embracing an ecumenical mindset. And let me just say about it, it's a sad day. And the reason why our pulpits ain't got enough fire to warm a chigger's feet. Amen. No preaching. Want to try to always looking for the next step. Most preachers are using their sermons as a platform for the next step. I ain't building no bridges. I'm burning them, bless God. Amen. Is everybody okay? Notice this. The time, the place where the problems that precede this bush. And it came to pass, verse 23, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried by reason of their bondage, and the cry came up to God by reason of their bondage. Yeah. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Now listen, jot it down. It was a day of national calamity.
Yeah. Yeah, brother. Amen.
It was not the purpose of God for Israel to live in bondage. Everybody understands that, don't you? I mean, I don't want to belabor that point. This was not the will of God for them. Their disobedience brought this on them. Their disbelief brought this on them. Amen. It wasn't God's fault. He'd have done had them over in a blessed land. But they're going to live in disobedience, and so he's going to punish them. Lot's going to pitch his tents towards Sodom. Going to mingle with that crowd, a bunch of Sodomites. Abraham's still going to lie about his wife all the time. Problem after... Y'all with me? So God said, I'm going to have enough of this junk. That's not what I'm coming for. That's not why I bless this nation. Now stay with me. And so it's a day of national calamity. Can I say America has never been more of a joke? Do you understand that third world countries laugh at us? And on 9/11, a bunch of rug-riding, camel-jockeyed, bunch of genie in a bottle, bunch of lantern-rubbing, bunch of bless God, bunch of bless God, bunch of bless God, out of hell Islam. A bunch of I can't stand them Arabs. Look up in here. You say you gotta love people. It's not the people I'm against, it's their ideology I'm against. Hey, watch it. They come over here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, one of the only aerospace schools. That's where the two pilots were trained in my hometown. They rented their cars from a car dealership. They had to send them up there to get those cars out of the airport. Out of Murfreesboro, you can't get no more redneck than Murfreesboro. You understand? That's the geographical center of Tennessee. It's in our up our old Vern Ewens. Look up in here. People don't even say you guys. We burn people's house down, says guys. It's y'all, it's all y'all. The possessive of y'all's is y'all's. Is that y'all's? It's Yuns and it's Yuns's. Somebody say amen. Stay out of our town. The two pilots were trained at Middle Tennessee. And look at me. They never pulled the trigger. Never had a gun. And Bin Laden's over there laughing right now in one of them caves he's hiding out in. They laugh at us. They laugh at our leadership. Did you know that the day 9/11, did you know in Saudi Arabia they was burning American flags and having a party? Our ally, Saudi Arabia. I'm against Saudi Arabia. And I'm against Iran and Iraq. And I am against Iraq and Kuwait. And I'm against anything kin to an Islam. Say amen. They all were burning flags. Y'all watch out for these bunch of Muslims. Look up in here. Now, if you see ethanol, if you see no ethanol in our gas, look up in here. That's a Pure D Muslim owns that station. Because he's buying that oil from his cousin. And he's getting it straight. He's against us using our corn to fuel. Listen, I say pull up, bless God, pavement and plant corn. Somebody say amen. Bless God, plow up pavement and put some corn in the ground. This bunch of media that we're wasted all this, we could put that in corn. Bless God, up down these interstates, we could grow enough fuel, bless God, moonshine to run anybody's car on. Amen. And they're laughing at us. Can y'all not understand that? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. They're laughing at us. We hang a Hussein, and 3 months later we vote one in. I don't care what you say, Barack Hussein Obama, that is not a Baptist name. If that ain't Muslim, I'm a Cherokee Indian. Amen. I like what his grandpa called him, Barry. Amen. Is everybody okay? Hey, you get glad in the same pants you got mad in. I come in here to preach a little while. The problem we're facing is a national problem. We don't. The kids are, parents are scared of their children. Parents are afraid. I've had members of my church say, "Well, I'm scared if I do that, my children." If you're scared of your children, you've already lost your children. If my daughter turns me in for whooping her, I just want to tell her before they lock me up, you better hope that they give me a life sentence. And you better go in the witness protection program.
Yeah, that's right. Yes,
because as soon as I get out of here, if you thought you got a whipping the first time, yeah. I'm gonna tear your hind end off your body the next time.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yep, that's it. Yeah.
Our nation has become mocked. Our nation has become made fun of. Hey, we've become a laughing stock to the world. We got terror cells everywhere. I believe in racial profiling anything. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, bless God, swims like a duck, I'm going to call it a duck. Somebody say amen. I get on the airplane and a rag-headed Allah, Muhammad, Sheikh, he's checking me. That's like a fox in the hen house. Somebody say amen. They're checking me. I'm thinking, dude, check the security man. He's the one got his prayer rug. Going over there in the corner. I mean, he gives me the creeps. I go in these airports at certain times of day. All them Muslims be over there doing all their doings. That don't bother y'all. Something warped about you. You've been watching too much Oprah Winfrey if that don't bother you. Amen. What kind of problems? National problems. We owe China. We're in such debt to China, and I'm against China. I'm against North Korea. Amen. Did I say I was against Russia? I want to clarify my position everywhere. I am against Russia. Say amen. We got problems that we didn't have when the fire burned. When the fire was burning in America, we didn't have these problems. Border control. We didn't have to worry about terror sales. Help me. When I went to school, biggest fear in school, man, I carried guns to school every day. I had a shotgun in my truck, 22 rifle. I had three German pocket knives in my pocket at all times. At school. The biggest concern was chewing gum. You couldn't chew gum in school. Now they're giving birth in the locker room. Somebody say amen. I tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because the fire's gone out. No fire. There was no fire burning when all that was going on. God showed up in the middle of the desert. I see the problems. Notice number two, I see the place where the fire burned. The place where it burned. Notice, first of all, he came to the backside of the desert and underlined these words, mountain of God. Where the fire is going to burn, it's going to be a place of elevation. It wasn't a holler of God.
Amen.
See, we're trying to bring down. We're duping people.
Yeah.
Come as you are and leave as you was. Dress like you're going to a cockfight.
Yeah.
Somebody help me.
Yeah.
I mean, we're duping. No songbooks. We're just dumbing people down.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
Words on a wall. No
on.
Melody to it. Y'all can't read the notes, but bless God they're there if you ever learn how. Somebody say amen. The bottom line's tenor and bass. Somebody help me. I mean, it ain't that sophisticated, but we've dumbed down people. It's just, you know, what an awesome, 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 he's awesome, awesome, awesome God. He's so awesome, 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 awesome. Like 7-11 songs, seven words 11 times. Somebody help me. You follow what I'm talking about? God ain't going to show up when we're trying to dumb down, bring everybody down. I mean, you ain't got to wear a tie to be right with God, but I mean, people on the platform, they ought to look the part. And instead, we got a bunch of hippies, a bunch of necklace-wearing hippies on the platform. No, we brought them down. We're trying to bring God down to us. The fire didn't burn down where we were. Moses had to make a trip up. You see that? The expectations of our people have become, well, you know, it's a different day and everything. Yeah, more abortion, more drug rehabs, more murder. Sure, it's a different day. But when we expected something out of people. I'm telling you, when there was an expectation, come up. I'm glad that to get saved, I didn't have to come up, he came down. But everything after salvation is an upward step. Every challenge beyond conversion is an upward step. But grow in grace. It didn't say shrink in grace. Well, I'm not. It's what they say now. It's what they say all the time. I'm not under the law. What they're trying to say is I can live like the devil. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. Now that don't give you no. The Bible said that the grace of God brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us and denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope. Grace will bring you up, it won't bring you down. Now that is good preaching right there. But see, I'm going to tell you, we got a sect of our circle, they don't want no preaching on purity and holiness. All they want is a Southern Gospel concert and a 15-minute message about we're going to heaven. Whoa! Hallelujah! Whoa! Thank God, Granny's in heaven. Whoa! Help me! But if the fire's gonna burn, you got to go to the mountain. I'm on a mission at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church, and uphill takes a little longer. It takes a little more out of you, but it's worth it when you get there. And let me say, when you start uphill, not everybody's going to make the trip. I've seen family after family, when we take the next step up, I lose them. And they get further behind. Y'all coming? I will be there in a minute, preacher. We'll be there in a minute, preacher. We coming. Man, I see them, yeah, they run. Go. By the way, if anybody ever leaves an old-fashioned church, isn't it amazing to me that they usually know that they 100% of the time, they never go to anything higher. They always go to something with less standards, with less preaching, with less worship, with less expectations. We just feel so much freer over there. I tell you, I just feel so relaxed on Sunday night and everything in our small groups. Bunch of divorce, talking to divorce, got all the women, men haters in one class. Somebody, amen. Somebody help me. Got to go on these retreats. Always going on a retreat. Look at me now. God ain't within 10,000 miles of a bunch of that junk. He said, come on up here. A place of elevation. Notice this. It was a place of, I'm going to say examination, but it could be interchanged with expectation. When he got up there, the angel of the Lord, verse 2, appeared unto him in the midst of the fire, and he looked. And behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight while the bush is not burning. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, then God spoke to him. I'm going to say to you, a place of expectation or a place of examination. I'm going to kind of hammer touch of those. He was looking for something up there. Yes, sir. I said something about overcomers last night, of those who seek. But when you get around where God is, look at me now. And where you get around where you don't think he is, you start looking for him. Whether it's a blazing fire or whether it's a secluded desert, The best thing for you to be doing is looking for God in your situation.
Amen.
And he was looking. Notice these key words. He turned aside to see. What are you looking for? God's the fire has been burning. The fire is burning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But unless you're looking for it, you ain't going to get none of it.
Exactly right, preacher.
We got some of them monkeys in our church, no see, you know. Monkey no hear, no evil. Monkey see no evil. Monkey speak no evil. We got them spiritual monkeys, can't see nothing. You know, I just don't see anything wrong with that. Been saved 15, 20 years, still dressed like the world.
I just don't see anything wrong. I'm not convicted.
You don't have to be convicted of a commandment.
I just don't see anything wrong with that.
You ain't looking for it. I right now in my life, I'm looking for God.
Amen.
I've got the Holy Ghost in me, but what I'm talking about, I'm looking for orders. I'm looking for direction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm at many crossroads in my age. I'm at crossroads in my church ministry as a pastor. I'm at crossroads with my family and my children as they grow. Hey, I'm telling you something. Right now, I'm looking. Right now, I'm depending. Right now, I'm examining. Right now, I'm expecting God to show me something.
Amen. Amen.
When you get to that point, you'll be amazed how quickly you'll see the fire.
Amen.
He turned aside, and not until he turned aside to
right.
see.
Amen.
It wasn't, come over here now.
Right.
I think we know enough about how to find God.
Yeah.
Let me hear you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He ain't playing hide and go seek. It's a burning bush. I mean, there was all kind of bushes in the desert. Now listen at me. But they wasn't but one burning bush. It was easy to find. I just don't know if this is God or the devil. If you don't know, it's the devil. Answer. Write that down. I just don't know, because God ain't playing some kind of hide and seek thing. He didn't have to. Is this bush on fire? I can't tell if this is on fire. You'll know the bush that's on fire. This bush ain't on fire. This ain't the bush. Lots of bushes in the desert, but they wasn't but one burning bush. Be looking for a burning bush. There's the place. The place was a place of elevation, a place of examination. Let me say this, it was a place of elimination.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes, sir.
When he got there, God said, "Now come on in here with that sheep hockey on your shoes. Come on in here. Get close to the fire with all that sheep hockey on you. Bring that hockey into the church. Stink up, mess up the carpet and get it on somebody else." No, he said, "Hold up, Moses. Ho, 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 right there. Ho, Moses. Draw not nigh hither until you get them shoes off." Don't you take another step. You ain't going to get no closer to that carnal.
Amen.
You've been out there with them sheep. My papa used to say we'd go get up to cows. He'd say, "Don't cut your foot." And he wasn't talking about stepping on glass. Does any country people in here at all? Somebody help me. You cut your foot, you step, it slides. And it ain't no oil slick either, bless God. And if you ever get any hog on, you look up in here. That hog's, cow's hard to get off, but you can't get hog off. Everybody listen to me? Hey, is everybody listening? Don't get near closer. Don't you get one step. Now listen, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't get no closer to the fire till you get your shoes clean. See, we're trying to approach God and be commissioned for service like we are. I hear it all the time. You ain't got to be like, I don't have to do that. You're so negative all the time. You run off more because you don't have to do that. Oh yeah, the purity is demanded. Just let me deal with some of that. You say, well, where do you get that from? Well, pastoral authority is where you get it. Somebody say, how short should my hair be? As short as your preacher says it should be. Because the Bible said, obey those that have rule over you. And he wasn't talking about no police. The liberals have taken that passage over there about to said that meant police. They're ministers of God. I ain't ever known no police that was a minister of God. I ain't known too many Christian police running around with anything that'll sleep with them. Somebody say amen. Is everybody wouldn't have given me all them tickets if they'd have been saved. Somebody say amen. You can't go in all the world and preach the gospel 55 miles an hour. There may be one or two. I just ain't met them yet. Oh, Andy Griffith was close, but he smoked cigarettes like a freight train. Somebody say amen. Is everybody okay? I know where I'm at. When I'm in Florida, I preach against bikinis. Hey, when I'm in Nashville, I preach against country music. Is everybody all right? Look up in here. Hey! I'm going to tell you where the fire burned. It was a place of elimination. He said, the fire ain't going to burn in your heart as long as you're embracing that carnal stuff. You got to get them nasty shoes off. I know you. Well, it don't bother me. I can live like, you know, it don't bother me. Hey, stop loving her today. Hey, place the reef upon his door. And sooner carry him away. Hey, stop loving her today. You say, oh, that don't bother me. I think one George Jones song a week, everybody ought to hear. But look up in here. Hey, when you start listening to that all the time, I'm going to tell you what you've done. You got too much hockey on your shoes. I eat at Cracker Barrel just to hear their music. Somebody say amen. Praise God, I can get by with it. Nobody accused me of turning it on. Bless God. I take my time, sit in there, tell them, I just can't hardly hear the music. Everybody listening? Hey, I'm going to tell you what, but too much of that stuff. You'll get so much world on you. You'll get so much Moab on you. And God will put the brakes on. You say, I wonder why I ain't felt like shouting lately. Well, I wonder why I'm just going through the motions in church. You might ought to check your shoe. Yeah, you ever been there? You ever got in the car? Done been in the yard? Been too close to the dog pen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And this is what we always. Nobody ever wants to be the one. Yeah. Troy will say, "It ain't me. It ain't me. It ain't mine." Well, look, somebody look, Tracy, look on your shoe. See, I didn't step in anything. It's not me. I wonder when the fire stops burning at the church. I wonder if some of these deacons' wives or some of Sunday school teachers might ought to look. And see if it's you. And it don't take but a little bit. Whoa, Moses. Ho, Moses, right there. Whoop. No closer. You can look at the fire, but you can't get warm. I won't talk to you anymore. I brought you this far. I've wooed you this far, but get them shoes off first.
That's it.
It's to help you if you'll let it help you.
Yes, sir.
There's the problems that precede it. There's the place. Let me give you this. That's all introduction, honestly. If I had that sip of water right there, I think I could preach about 10 more minutes. And that's all I need tonight. Praise God. And that's all y'all need tonight. Notice the purpose of the burning bush.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 8, chapter 3. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land to a good land, a large, unto a land flowing milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I'll send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth thy people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Yeah. I want you to see this clear too. The reason for the burning bush was to respond to their beckoning. God doesn't have to. He set up the order of blessing. Ask and you shall receive. He sets the economy of the Christian. You understand? We're not living under the same realm of the world. And he says, if we have not, because we ask not. We're not living on the same economy as the world. He makes his own rules. You understand that? God does. And the reason why they were released from bondage, and the reason why they received a blessing, those were all byproducts of one active element. God responded to their beckoning. Now, I know in this area a lot of talk about prayer, and Brother Benny Beckham, good man, about prayer and prayer conferences and prayer. I don't know a lot about all that stuff. I preached a couple of years at this prayer conference, and I about got confused. One fellow said, if you don't pray an hour, you don't pray enough. And the other fellow prayed 36-word prayer was enough. And another said, well, if you don't, you know, and I got so confused. Don't get nervous. I mean, one of them, you know, he said, Elijah called down fire with 63 words. Said the other, you know, and I'm looking at all that, and I said, well, you know. And I'll be honest, I know y'all are much more spiritual than me. I ain't ever prayed an hour yet. And I'm thinking, what am I doing at a prayer conference? And I can't even pray an hour. Somebody help me. And there was all kind of, and then one fella got up and said the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. It took him like 32 seconds to say, if you don't pray that way, God ain't going to hear you, because he said, after this manner, pray. And I just preached on hell. That's what I said.
That'll work.
No, I tried to, I want you to notice how God heard these people. They're down there in Egypt, and there was some people that had gotten uncomfortable with their present condition. And this is what they did. They went, they sighed. I'm not talking about an unintelligible tongue. But see, God knows what this means. God knows what. You ever got under a burden to where you just go, Can I tell you some of the most effective prayers that I've ever prayed went something like this. It went something like this. We started our church in a living room, had 11 members 21 years ago. I wanted music so bad. They gave us a piano, a little old upright thing, and I mean, it was pitiful. 4 or 5 strings missing on it. It was awful. And you know, one of them churches, we just want to help y'all get what it was. They wanted to get rid of the thing. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? They felt bad about throwing it away, but they wanted it out of their building. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We just feel like God wants y'all to have everything. So we could, but we had to come get it. God wanted us to have it, but we got to come get it. Somebody say amen. But I'd walk over there, that old upright piano. Didn't have no piano player.
Yeah.
And I'd do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I put me some racks up on the platform for a banjo and a mandolin.
Oh, yeah.
And a fiddle.
God.
And a dobro.
Amen.
And a guitar. And a bass.
Yes,
hook,
yes,
for a tambourine.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I put that all up there, and I'd walk to them little racks. There wasn't no guitar in them. What I did, I had them there just in case a Bob Jones graduate showed up. I wanted them to know that if we had a guitar player, he would be playing this thing.
Yes, sir.
And I'd walk up to that rack and I'd say, God help.
Oh, glory to God.
And then I'd walk over to the next rack where I wanted that banjo to be. And I'd walk over and I'd say, oh, God help.
Amen.
You see, how'd it work? How's it working out? Well, just come see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick, how's it working out? Well, I'm going to tell you how it's working out. Adam Borden, who played the bass for the Gold City Quartet, y'all probably never heard of them. He played the bass for 11 years. He's our bass player. The number one mandolin picker in IBMA for 3 years, Danny Roberts, our mandolin picker. Our fiddle player's on RFD channel every day on that Reno's Tradition. He's the fiddle player for them. Leads our congregational singing in our choir. Is everybody okay? We got award-winning banjo pickers, our guitar pickers. My dobro player, listen, they recruiting him from Nashville every day. He says, I can't do it because I got to play in church on Sundays. Y'all know the Whites. Them old Ricky Skaggs is married in that family. Them Whites been begging. Oh, Michael said, can you come play? And he said, oh, I can't play if we can't get back on Sundays.
Amen.
We got to get back on Sundays. Is everybody listening? You say, how's that working? Just come check it out. One of them churches said, we want to give you all a bus. And I was so excited about it. They're going to give us a bus. I told our people, this church wants to give us a bus. Yeah. Man, I went over there and looked at that bus. God, hell. I'm talking about Noah. Use that bus. The thing didn't even have reverse in it. And they'd done taken all the seats out of it, everything out of it they could use. But the spark plugs. It was an old bunny bread wagon, like a Marita bread wagon. I don't know what kind of bread y'all have around here, but it's a bread truck. We had no CDL license driver, didn't have no money to buy the gas or the insurance, no seats in the thing. But I'd walk out there. Wasn't nobody there. I'd get up early in the morning, walk out there, drive over to the church, walk out there and put my hand on front of that bus. And I'd do something like this. God help us. You say, how'd it turn out? Come over. It ain't gospel light in Walkertown, but last time I counted, they 17 buses sitting out there. They still riding. People still getting saved. It's the most effective prayers I ever prayed. I'll come in the middle of the night. Walk in from meetings. I'm gone all the time. My family sees me in the pulpit. That's when they see their daddy. And I've walked in the middle of the night. We'll go in there in Tennille's room. My oldest, she's dead to the world, gone. I've walked in there in Tennille's room, just put my hand on her shoulder, her 20-year-old. And I just go, how do you pray for a 20-year-old girl? I don't even know how to pray for a 21-year-old girl. What do I say? How do you pray for a I don't know how to pray for a 21-year-old girl. I've walked in there and Tara Lynn, that shouting Tara Lynn. She'll shout. She don't mind who's looking. She don't ask permission. She don't care if doctor's there or nurse came with him or the nurse come with him. If it gets right, old Tara Lynn, she'll get to drop it in hands. Old Buck, we'll see. Tara Lynn's fixed to go now. I walk in there, Tara Lynn, and just put my hand, just put my hand on her back and say, "Oh, how you pray for a 16-year-old girl?" Oh, TC, precious TC, they ain't perfect children, but I go in there and old Troy the boy. He's soft and tender. The other day he stood up, 12-year-old, stood up and got testifying, got to crying. 12-year-old, and I'm talking about he don't know how to fake it. He got happy, got that hand up. He got the quiver out of the chin, got the going. About then his mama kicked in.
Amen.
Walk in there, got a wife, never heard of Baptist, never heard of any church in her life. I was preaching night, she got saved, never been in church but twice when she was 18 years old, never been once to an Easter day just to get her picture made with a dress on other than to a Christian rock concert. Married a missionary Baptist preacher. Hell, fire, and brimstone. You talk about culture shock. Never heard about what you can't wear, where you can't go. Raised on Michael Jackson. Y'all listening? I walk in there, she don't know I'm home yet. I just walk in there and put my hands on her. God help her. You see, how's it doing? Well, she ain't got no britches hanging in her closet, I can tell you that. And I ain't never had to say nothing. Is everybody okay? And she wouldn't spit on a liberal if he was on fire. And nobody ever had tell her anything about the King James. Is everybody okay? I'm just trying to tell you something. I'm going to tell you while the fire burn. Some of you need to quit telling God how to fix your problems. Most of the time I hear prayers, it's saying, now God, this is what you need to do now. God, you need to get in here, bless God, and you need to do this to my daughter, and you need to do this to my husband, you need to do this to my son.
Yeah. Come on.
Why don't you just quit telling and start trusting God?
Sure.
There ain't no hocus pocus to prayer. There ain't no set time. There's too much inconsistency about prayer in here. It's about asking and receiving. That's why he showed up. To respond to their best. Have you asked him for anything lately? Well, the Lord knows what I need. Yeah, but his way is ask me. He knows everything. It ain't about you have not because I don't know. You have not because you ask not. Let's stand together. We got problems on every hand.